the next 2 hours. Go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, we're so back on a Tuesday. Good morning, everybody. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. And we're rocking with you until noon here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Thank you, everybody, listening on the radio, listening on your free Odyssey app. And, of course, everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, the chatty house already cracking. And, of course, you can participate in the program on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. That's 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Let me make sure the phone lines are unlocked. They sure are. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Kyle. You said a lot there. When I have to run the show, I don't say any of that.
That's probably, honestly, this is a much bigger, like, discussion about media and the current state of it, but that's probably the way to do it. Probably doing the podcast thing where you just kind of assume that everybody knows what it is and what the deal is, and you just roll through it.
I probably shouldn't do it that way, but, like, I don't have everything written down, so if I don't have it written down, I'm not going to say it, so...
Just full, like, Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, yeah.
Next time I'm out, I'll write a little intro for you. Some bullet points. It'll be easy.
Hey, I still hit all the sponsors, Scooter. I make sure that we talk about Jiffy Lube all the time.
That's all you need.
And you know, we have the Elk Grove Kia call in line.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shout out to the talk line.
We had Mitch came on yesterday. We had Mitch.
Mitch in New Jersey. Very nice.
Mitch in New Jersey.
Wait. Oh, because we had Joe yesterday.
We had Joe, so Jesse and I were in here.
Right, so Joe, I thought you did the calls.
No.
No, God, no. What do you think this is?
No.
I was very surprised.
No.
But that's cool. Cool, man.
I think we had someone in on, we had a call on Friday. Oh, no. On Thursday, where we had to do an extra hour because D'Lo and Casey got caught up in a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse and I begged for people to call. We actually demanded that Ramsey call in, and then we begged for other people to call in, and we had like 3 phone calls.
Excellent.
Yeah. It was a bit of a scramble to get that last hour filled. It was fun.
Yeah. No, it's totally fun. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon. I had a great trip. I went down to Southern California with my wife and I and our group of friends, and we had a great trip. We went to Disneyland on Friday. We went to Universal on Saturday. We watched football all day Sunday, and I was really excited because one of my friends who we went with is my buddy Nate. I have known Nate since I was 7 years old.
Cool.
I was the best man and officiant in his wedding. He was the best man in my wedding. He is one of the best people I know, flat out. Well, he lives in Sacramento. I live out in the Bay Area. We're both Niner guys. He watches every game. He doesn't, like, he listens to the podcast, but he's not like on Twitter, like super analysis, but we text back and forth a little bit during games, but we haven't gotten to watch a football game together since like 2013 when we lived together.
Ooh.
Right. So we haven't gotten to watch a football game, like sit down and watch a game together in a really long time.
Okay.
So on Sunday, 10 a.m. kick, we're hanging out at the Airbnb all day. It's like, dude, we get to watch a Niner game together. This is so fun. To hell with the 49ers, first of all. That was not a fun game to watch. I was so excited to lock in with the homie and one of my very best friends that I will ever have in this lifetime, somebody that I would take a bullet for.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, we get to watch a football game. And then we watched that. It was just, bleh. It was just the Niners don't get it on 4th and 2 at the goal line, which we'll talk about in a bit. Vikings run a play, 97-yard tutty to Justin Jefferson, and we looked at each other and we were like, hey, man, this has, well, before that even, we were like, this has 17-13 loss written all over it.
Mm.
Like, just the way that game started. And then that long touchdown, and he's like, 17-13 might have been generous. And lo and behold, 23-17 is your final score. Just not a fun, of all the games, it wasn't even a game where, man, it's a really good game, they just got beat.
No, it was just...
It was ugly. They got beat. They got pushed around.
Fred Warner kept giving them lifelines, and they just kept, like...
God bless Fred Warner.
Phone a friend, and you called the wrong friend.
If Fred Warner was not in that game, the Niners lose by 50.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I totally agree. If Fred Warner wasn't in that game, they probably at least lose by another 10.
He single-handedly prevented, yeah, two scores.
Yeah.
Probably two touchdowns.
Yeah, without any question.
And the Niners' only two touchdowns came off of Fred Warner takeaways.
Man, that pick was so amazing.
It was sick. And the punch out at the goal line? Man.
Yeah, he's...
What a player, but yuck to that entire experience.
He's playing at a whole nother level. I was wondering where you were going to go with this because... You had, I'm so mad at the 49ers on the rundown, and I'll explain. And I didn't know where you were going to go with that. But
yeah, dude.
For them to ruin your personal viewing pleasure with a friend that you don't get to watch football with.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Look, not that they, I don't care that they lost. Teams are going to lose. They haven't won in Minnesota since 1992. I think the Vikings are A, better than people thought they would be, and B, just really well coached.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Flores has given Kyle Shanahan fits. And Brock Purdy fits. I think Kevin O'Connell is one of the five best coaches in the league, just flat out. I thought that going into Sunday, and it certainly didn't do anything to change my mind there. I think Kevin O'Connell's fantastic. I think you look at with some of the defensive talent they have. It was more impressive to me that Sam Darnold did what he did without Justin Jefferson on that last drive. TJ Hockenson out the whole game. Jordan Addison out the whole game. Really, really impressive performance by the Vikings. Like, don't get it twisted. So I don't mind that they lost to Minnesota. I just mind that they played the way they did.
No, I totally get that.
It was yucky, man. They looked on Sunday like I thought they would look in week one. They looked disjointed. They looked out of sorts. They looked like a team that had two of their best players not in training camp. Trent Williams had a bad game. Brandon Ayuk is getting open. He's there. They're just not getting the ball to him. Debo Samuel gets hurt. Just yuck. Yuck to all of it. Two thumbs down to the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about it a lot yesterday. They were not impressive. Like, so many facets of the game that they were bad. Like, the special teams, they were so bad. The Mitch Wisnowski play where he just stood there and, like, didn't want to go put his hand on the guy.
And you have Robert Beal, the up man, just olaying the block?
Yeah, like, what in the world? And then on top of that, Minnesota had that one of the stupidest plays I've ever seen, where the guy caught the ball at the one and then just, like, strolled into the end zone. I almost expected, like, dude,
Dallas,
like,
Turner.
Like the Bernie Lean or something, just walk into the end zone, like, celebrating himself, like, hey, bro, you still have the ball. What are you doing?
It was really like, bad. Oh, really, so really bad look for the Vikings on special teams. I want to go through some of the stuff. I don't want to do a recap of the game, obviously, because it happened 2 days ago. But we did get an announcement yesterday from Kyle Shanahan. And I want to talk about the Raiders as well. That's coming up. And we'll also talk about last night's Falcons-Eagles thriller on Monday Night Football. We'll have a little Sacramento Kings check-in as well. But I'm angry at the 49ers, so that's what we're starting with. We got an announcement yesterday from head coach Kyle Shanahan on his conference call that wide receiver Debo Samuel suffered a calf strain late in the game. It was on that, like, slant at the end of the game where they needed a bunch of yards, and they threw a slant to Debo, which is whatever. He got hurt on that play. He's out a couple of weeks, according to Kyle Shanahan. So the 49ers offense now has no Debo Samuel. No Christian McCaffrey. Brandon Ayuk, who is currently not a productive player.
75-80% of Brandon Ayuk.
Kyle Shanahan said he's playing, he's at 100%, but he's only playing about 85% of his snaps. And whatever has happened with Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy, and maybe there's a chemistry thing there that Purdy's a little bit rusty with him, he's got to start throwing him the damn ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's open. Go watch. You can't really see it on the TV copy, but I've seen people posting the all-22s, and I was talking with people who were at the game in the press box where they can see that view, and it's like, there are people open. That was an issue that Brock Purdy had on Sunday, was just letting it rip. But it's Brandon Ayuk now.
Mm-hmm.
It's George Kittle and Jordan Mason.
Juwan Jennings.
You have Juwan Jennings. Like, there's plenty there to withstand this.
Yep.
They're just going to have to go about their offense a little bit differently.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, Juszczyk has become a much bigger player.
Yeah.
But that really does limit you. Unless he's lining up in the backfield by himself And you have, but then you're not fearing that he's going to run at all because he doesn't run the ball hardly ever.
No.
So you're hoping that you're able to fool somebody, but I don't know who you're fooling there. So right. It almost feels like when you have Mason in the game, you're either running or he's staying in the block. And then when you have Juszczyk in the game, you know, he is going out into the pass pattern. Uh-huh. But if you're just to have him, you know, he's just going to be running out for passes. Uh-huh. He's not. So you're limited as opposed to McCaffrey, where when McCaffrey's in the game, you have no idea what McCaffrey's going to do.
Sure.
Right. So like, I feel like you're stripping down a little bit of like sort of what Kyle Shanahan's like options are, mm-hmm. like what he can do to like disguise anything. And mm-hmm. realistically, they don't have anything to disguise. I think even when they put Debo in the backfield, you're like, okay, at least you know Debo can do a couple of things here. Well, that's not the case with Mason. Like, he's caught, mm-hmm. what, one ball in each of the first two games. I think that might be the next step. Like, if they can, like, get him out and have him catch even, like, a couple of little dump screens or sure. something, just to, like, break up the idea of what they're about to do,
mm-hmm.
It's a big problem. I mentioned this yesterday. I thought the other thing that Mason did really well is he picked up blitzes. And
oh, like crazy, yeah.
2 weeks in a row where I thought he was just absolutely tremendous mm-hmm. as a blocker for Purdy in the backfield. So
yeah, man, that was I think a big reason he wasn't playing before. But no, I agree with you. That's something that he did really well on Sunday, and that's part of the reason the Vikings defense is difficult, because those easy checkdowns to the running back aren't there because your running back is staying in the block.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're bringing a ton of pressure, and they're bringing blitzes from all these different angles, and you just don't get the opportunity to just, oh, yep, hey, there it is, quick dump off, and there's 8 free yards. That's just not available. We're going to learn a lot about Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy here in the next couple of weeks.
Totally.
Because you don't have that element, like you just said, that element of Debo Samuel and the variants of things he can do with mm-hmm. his skill set. Without Christian McCaffrey, basically a positionless player. You know, you hear broadcasters all the time say that, well, if Christian McCaffrey was just a slot receiver, he'd be a Pro Bowler as a slot receiver. That's not going to be Jordan Mason or anyone else on the Niners roster. That's what makes Christian McCaffrey different. They don't have that. Jordan Mason might be able to physically catch the ball, but running a route and getting open, routing up a corner from the slot is not like an easy thing.
No.
So we're going to basically watch Kyle Shanahan now have to adapt his offense to not having this element of surprise with, oh, hey, Christian McCaffrey's lined up in the backfield with 2 tight ends, but hey, actually, this is going to be a 5-wide situation because watch how we're going to change the formation with pre-snap motion.
Mm-hmm.
That element of surprise is no longer there. The element of Debo Samuel in the backfield or Debo Samuel on jet sweeps is no longer there. You're going to have to run what looks like a more traditional offense. And to your point about Kyle Juszczyk, man, Kyle Juszczyk is super valuable to the 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is without question. But his value as a playmaker comes from, oh, shoot. Okay, got to cover McCaffrey over there. Okay, Debo's over there. Ayuk's now on this in-breaker deep in behind, and you're a linebacker, so you're trying to get enough depth to make sure that you're covering up that play. Oh, and now you've forgotten about Kyle Juszczyk, who's just wide open running a wheel route.
He's the 7th thing you're worried about.
Right, he's ostensibly their 2nd tight end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if it's just Kyle Juszczyk lining up out wide, that is a lot less dangerous than Kyle Juszczyk's lining up out wide, oh shoot, and there's Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel, and there's all these other all-pros who are also split out. So we're going to learn a lot about what Kyle Shanahan has in his bag with a more quote-unquote normal-looking offense.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see what Brock Purdy has in his bag without the safety blanket of Debo Samuel, which is up 10 targets on Sunday. That was a lot of, oh, shoot, don't know where to go with it. Let me throw it to Debo. And Debo, honestly, making a couple of remarkable catches in traffic, up high, climbing the ladder to get him. I thought Debo was really good on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's not there anymore. And you still have Brandon Ayuk. You still have George Kittle. You still have Jordan Mason. There's still plenty there offensively. This isn't going to be excuse time for the 49ers, because now you have Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy. That is your duo of the future. That is your, hey, Brandon Ayuk just got his contract. Brock Purdy, after this season, is going to get his contract. They're going to be 2 highly paid players that the Niners are basically leaning on to be the foundation of their offense for at least the next half decade and potentially more. So here's your chance. Here's your first opportunity to see what the 49ers offense looks like when it's Brock Purdy, Brandon Ayuk, and no Deebo Samuel, and no Christian McCaffrey, and a little bit more like what the offense is probably going to look like in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I really do wonder, can they get Cowing involved? Can they get someone else involved that can actually do something? And, you know, he's the guy who, number one, I think can extend the defense. He can, mm-hmm. You can send him out. Mm-hmm. I think you can get him on a wide receiver screen, and I think you can get him on an end around. I don't mm-hmm. want him doing complex routes over the middle. I don't want that. Even the quick slants right now, I don't think he's ready. If you're going to do that, then bring in Conley. That's fine.
Sure.
But, you know, for the sort of like the trick plays that Deebo does, I'm okay with him. Like, let's see what he's got. He's super fast. Like, get him on the end around. Get him on a wide receiver screen. Like, send a couple of streaks down the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Just whatever you can to try to use him effectively and sort of in, like, his role. I think that's the problem. Like, Jennings is very specific. He's just a, he's almost like, in a lot of senses, he's almost like a second tight end. Like,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big, huge mm-hmm. target. He's not going to get a ton of separation, but mm-hmm. he is a guy that can handle a ball in space and can box out a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, and go get you a first down for sure. But he's not like a breakaway guy, and Ayuk is a little bit of a breakaway guy, but not really. So, mm-hmm. like, how are you going to manage this? And it's complicated, man. This is not where the Niners thought they would be, but it also could make them really, really strong in the second half of the season if they can survive this first blip on the radar.
Yeah. And that's they have, I've said it a couple of times, I'll say it again, they have the personnel to do it. It's just we haven't, because when Deebo Samuel went out in Brock Purdy's rookie year, he went out against Tampa Bay, so that was Brock Purdy's first start. And Purdy was fine without Deebo. But that was with everybody else in it. By that time, Christian McCaffrey was fully up to speed in the offense. You had Brandon Ayuk still. You still had George Kittle. It's no Deebo, but everything else was good to go. Learning to survive without Christian McCaffrey, I thought, was going to be a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But it was made a little bit easier because you had a versatile player like Deebo Samuel. Well, now Deebo Samuel's out. That versatility is gone. Like George Kittle, God bless him, blocking, pass catching, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the same type of playmaking threat that CMC and Deebo are. So you're going to learn now, okay, hey, Brandon Ayuk, you got $30 million a year. Here's 12 targets. Here's 15 targets. What are you going to do with it? Because you go look down in Southern California at the 49ers' next opponent. No Puka Nacua. No Cooper Kupp.
Nope.
But hey, here's DeMarcus Robinson out of nowhere. Here's Tyler Johnson just out of nowhere is a big factor in week one. They create Jordan Whittington is now a guy that everybody's like, yeah, hey, in fantasy football, this is the guy. This is the guy you're going to want, because they're just churning these receivers out, and that's great. I'd like to see Kyle Shanahan do the same thing. I'd like to see Kyle Shanahan break from whatever mold that they had with their offense and create an offense that, yeah, hey, Juwan Jennings can thrive, that, hey, makes life easier on Brandon Ayuk, because Brandon Ayuk is going to see double coverage. He's going to see brackets. He's going to see everything under the sun to make sure he's not beating the opposing team, which, okay, A, can you take advantage of that mm-hmm. with your other weapons? But B, Ayuk still got to get open. The onus is still on Brandon Ayuk to create opportunities for himself when opposing teams are defending him that way, because if it was that easy, every team would just take away a team's top receiver, and you can't do that because the top receivers are too good.
Yep.
So now we need to see it from Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, he definitely has to figure out a way to get open. Like, you can tell, like, whatever, it's so hard to emulate, like, a professional football situation.
Yeah, man.
And you're seeing, like, it doesn't matter how much he worked out or how much he was doing off the field stuff with other people, you just can't replicate, number one, the chemistry, number two, the explosiveness that you need against NFL defensive backs, and number mm-hmm. three, like, what happened in week one where just, you're not practicing running and diving to the corner with your buds out on some field down the street.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you're doing. You're doing a bunch of routes and you're doing all your footwork, and you're doing making sure that you're precise in your routes and all that stuff. You're not sitting there diving with a guy on your hip and
mm-hmm.
like 40,000-50,000 fans and the ball's fading into the corner and you got to go get it. Like, it's really tough to catch up
mm-hmm.
and it's on him. it's his fault that he's in this situation. But at some point, you know, we've got to see what exactly he's got and if he can be the receiver he was before, because at this point they need it. I think the one reprieve, Kyle, is that they get the Rams this weekend, who are just beyond beat up. You want to talk about the Niners being beat up? Mm-hmm. The Rams are, I mean,
the Rams are in a bad way right now.
Yeah, their whole offensive line, like two of their, I think both their guards are out, plus,
I think they're
safeties?
Down to their third and fourth string tackles, too.
Yeah, and their safeties are out. Like, they're
in a bad spot.
Yeah, they're in a really bad spot. And then you follow that up with the Patriots, who just aren't very good. They're gritty, but they're not very good. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you can survive this early season thing, especially with who the Rams are now versus who we thought the Rams might be 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They're a much different team.
I can't believe how badly they got beat down by Arizona.
There's just been weird beatdowns, man. What the Saints are doing to people? Just like what?
Shout out to Clint Kubiak, man.
I guess there's just like some crazy things that are happening where I can't believe that guy just got punched like that.
Nobody in the NFL can score right now except for the Saints. Just having no problem. Everyone else struggling to put up points.
Yeah.
He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. If you want to hit the Elk Grove Kia talk line, do so. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Who has to step up the most with Debo Samuel out? I want your answer to that at the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Like I said, 916-909-1320. James, who are you looking for to step up the most for the 49ers with no Debo Samuel?
I mean, I think Ayuk is the easy one.
Sure.
But realistically, Brock Purdy needs to show that he's that guy right now.
That is, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's it. Like Brandon Ayuk, no doubt, but we know what Brandon Ayuk can do.
Yeah.
To me, the problem with Brandon Ayuk's production, particularly last week, easy for me to say, was Brock. Purdy was not good on Sunday.
Yeah.
He took 6 sacks. I think maybe 2 of them were on the offensive line. He was indecisive. He looked shaky in the pocket. He said after the game that Brian Flores' defense had him confused.
Mm.
He was not good. And this is where, okay, that's fine. He can have a bad game. That happens in the NFL. Guys have bad games. That's fine. But we've seen Purdy now, who is good in week 1, showed command of the offense, and that's great. They ran through the Jets, and they kicked 6 field goals, and they win 32-19. That's great. But then you go to Minnesota, and he's not nearly as effective. And now we have 2 games in a row where you're looking and going, okay, he was pretty good in week 1. Not great, but pretty good. And then week 2, he was bad. And both of these games have been without Christian McCaffrey. His first ever starts without Christian McCaffrey. So this, to me, is a massive stretch for him and for the 49ers when it comes to the decision-making process of extending him, because if Brock Purdy is going to continue to struggle as long as Christian McCaffrey is out and as long as Debo Samuel is out, then I have massive question marks about making this guy the franchise quarterback for the next decade.
Yeah. I would say this, though, Kyle. Like, he did go 28 of 34 for 319 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the pick wasn't good, but the initial pick was a bobble, right?
It was into traffic. It was behind the receiver. It was not a good throw.
Yeah, it wasn't a good throw. The second fumble / pick, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
That was just like one of those things that happened, but it can't happen in that situation.
Nope.
Especially, aren't they in a dome? Like.
Yeah, apparently it was more humid than normal and he had the ball slip out. Here's the I have never watched a quarterback that I go, wow, that quarterback is awesome. I have never seen them do that. I've seen Jimmy Garoppolo do that. I've seen like Matt Ryan do that. I've seen like Will Levis do it. I've now seen Brock Purdy do it. I've never seen Patrick Mahomes. I'm sure it's happened to him. I've never seen it happen.
Okay.
Anecdotally, that only happens to bad quarterback.
I'm not putting him in that. Like, we were texting back and forth early in the game. I thought he looked so comfortable in the pocket that it was almost too comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, he reminded me of Tom Brady, the way that Brady would just stand back there and just like, the whole world is crashing around you. There's flames everywhere. And you're just like, chill, I'm here. Yeah. But then it came to a point where it's like, ooh, how are you going to throw off that position? Mm-hmm. And he threw some decent balls.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt like there came a moment where the game speed started to crank up. The pressure started to pick up. and he didn't adjust from his cool, calm, and collective to like literally, you know, the dude in front of you's hair is on fire and you're, you've got to figure out a way to like be more.
I was struggling to decide because I was with you. We were texting a little bit during the game. Purdy looked so good early in the game, standing in the pocket, moving around, maneuvering inside the pocket. But as the game went on, I became less certain that, oh man, look at that, cool, calm, and collected versus, oh, he doesn't know what he's seeing.
Yes.
He's not calm and like, okay, I'm surveying. He's just staring into the abyss.
Yes.
He's not seeing anything. He's standing there because he doesn't know what else to do.
That, yeah.
And there was one play in particular that... It was the third down play where he scrambled all around and then found Ayuk on the sideline. Or, I'm sorry, Debo on the sideline. And they reviewed it because Debo's foot might have come up. And he had scrambled around all before that and then made that throw. And I saw somebody in 49ers media be like, wow, add that one to Brock Purdy's highlight reel. And I'm like, absolutely not, dude. That was not a good quarterback play. He needed to get rid of that a long time ago. He created that pressure for himself. And okay, he polished the turd or whatever, but it wasn't a good play.
No.
And
just the result worked out.
Right. And that was a little bit what I had creep into my mind on Sunday was, man, he's had so much good luck with interceptions and with bobbles and things falling on the ground where, oh, that should have been a pick, but it wasn't. That interception that Minnesota had felt like the kind of ball that hits the ground for him last year. And then you watch that play with the throw to Debo on the sideline. It's like, man, that was not,
yeah.
So I'm not hitting the panic button. I'm still saying if they had to pay him today, they should.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to learn so, so much about Brock Purdy over the next couple of games with Debo Samuel. He has to be the guy for the 49ers. He just has to.
Yeah. I'm with you.
There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, and we talked about this. We got to go.
What did we talk about?
There are certain players in the league that you have this feeling that they can win a game at any time.
Mm-hmm.
They also can lose a whole bunch of games because they're not very good.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this like little weird ingredient that they can go win a game for you.
Yep.
Gardner Minshew, for some reason, has that.
Gangster.
It's Minshew magic. Yep. I don't know what it is. Yep. I need Brock Purdy to find it like right now.
Right there with you.
Yeah.
Right there with you. We'll keep talking about that. We'll talk about Gardner Minshew and the Las Vegas Raiders victory over the Baltimore Ravens. A couple of interesting things from that game. We'll have more from the Niner game, of course. We'll talk about a thriller on Monday Night Football last night at Sacramento Kings check-in. Tons to get to before noon. We got a break now. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I love having these windows right here. I never know anybody who walks by that isn't one of our coworkers, but you can tell when it's like somebody important.
Yeah.
Because they're always like eight people deep.
Yeah, they have their entourage.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh. I don't even know who that was.
There was, I was talking to one of the brand managers here the other day because he was here with somebody walking around and I was talking to him later and he mentions that the person was just like the head of a record label who's just here.
Oh.
Just walking around, hanging out.
Well, that is, sure. The weird thing is too, don't we have like, we have the FBI come in like once a month?
Do they still do that? I know that was a bit on a show that's no longer at our cluster.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
anyways, that was just, I got super distracted when the segment was opening up because a bunch of people walked by that I didn't know. But we are back here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. James Hamm there, Kyle Madsen here. Monday Night Football last night, we were talking about this a little bit at the break with the Jason Kelce back in Philly thing, because Jason Kelce working at ESPN now.
Yeah.
It felt very much like a Eagles-centric broadcast. Not that I, as a unbiased viewer, I didn't care that much.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jason Kelce is a mostly entertaining guy. But if I was a Falcons fan, watching that game, and you're going back and forth, and you're playing really well on the road in Philly, and Kirk Cousins is finally like playing like you thought Kirk Cousins would, and man, your defense is playing awesome, and there's all these reasons to be excited as a Falcons fan, and then you're just getting beat over the head with Jason Kelce and the Eagles. That would have made me upset. I would not have liked that if I was a Falcons fan.
Okay, I get that. I get that, but I think a dose of him would have been fine. I think getting like, you know, like 8 shots deep, you know, is like, hey, like, what are we doing here? And like, look, I liked what a lot of what he was doing. I like his energy, and I think he's funny, and I think he actually can do that job.
Yeah, but I totally agree with you.
But he's not. He doesn't have any like. It's not just like polished as a like commentator, because you kind of don't want that, because that's what happens when like Tony Romo's great in the first like year. After year one, everyone else is like, okay, I got to mute this. I can't listen to this anymore. Right. With Kelce, it's almost like he was watching the game like, hey, did you see that? That looked like it might've been offsides. And Troy Aikman's trying to talk, and it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, throwing him into a 3-man booth is weird. But they did that. I think they only did that because it was the Eagles.
No,
it was
Jason
Kelce. It was like, let's interview an Eagles legend.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Again, as a neutral observer who mostly enjoys Jason Kelce, I didn't mind it at all.
Okay.
But if I was a Falcons fan and I'm watching the Falcons cruise down the field and score the go-ahead touchdown late and then hold on to get the game-winning interception on the Eagles' last drive, and all I heard about all game was Jason Kelce, I'd have been mad.
I get that. I do think he was very complimentary of like their line play. He kept looking at their line and explaining what they were doing that was positive. And I think a lot of that was totally cool, because it's an aspect of the game that we don't get all the time. But yeah, I just needed less. And
yeah, that's all. That's all. Just a little, just less of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could have been like one segment or two segments. You know, it was a short drive. Let's go to the break. We'll bring it back. And then, hey, sure, thanks for coming. But then it was like I was saying during the break, it felt like, you know, you throw a party and, you know, it gets everyone else is cleared out.
Yeah.
Except for like one dude who's just still there. And you start cleaning up and it's like, let me help you. And you're like, yeah, you can help by like putting your shoes on and leaving.
Yeah.
Like that's how you can help us. But that's not what happens. He like sits there and like grabs a garbage bag and starts helping. You're like, yeah. Okay, well, we're getting a little tired here.
We're cleaning up just enough to go to bed.
Yes.
We're not doing the whole thing tonight. Get the hell out of my house.
Yeah. That's what it kind of felt like. You're like, hey, man, I think it's time. I think it's time for you to go.
Yeah. I felt so bad for Saquon Barkley last night. If you missed it, Eagles up 18-15, late fourth quarter, 3rd and 3. Perfect play call. It's Saquon Barkley in the flat. Jalen Hurts makes a perfect throw. Saquon Barkley needs to catch it. Turn up field. He has the angle on the defender. He's going to get a first down and more. Ball game's going to be over. And he drops it. And it's one of those plays that Eagles fans are going to remember. Eagles fans are going to think about it. But by week 10, no Eagles fan is going to be like, well, this season, there will be some. But the consensus among Eagles fans is not going to be like, this season went off the rails because of Saquon's drop. You and I are going to forget about it probably tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon Barkley is going to think about that play until he's dead. I'm dead serious, dude.
Yeah, probably.
That's going to exist. There are so many plays I can go, and again, I didn't play sports at any kind of high level, but there's still those plays that sit back there like, one of them, slow pitch softball. Okay, that's the level of play we're talking. Beer league softball is what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still like those things that you think about at night that just kind of keep you awake. This is one of them. This is one of them. That and like existence and stuff. But this is another one. Championship game, 2 outs. Line drive right at me off the top of my glove.
Oh.
Into left center field, base hit. We eventually win the game, but I would have caught the 3rd out. And instead, the 3rd out was a fly out to left center. I remember it very vividly.
Stuff
because it should have been me that sticks out. And then when I was like 10, we almost turned a double play, which is unheard of in like 10-year-old pony baseball.
Yep.
And second baseman flips to short throws it across and throws a little low, and I just missed it.
Oh,
just missed it. Ball clangs off the fence. Shortstop goes, oh, Kyle. I dude, I it is all, it is, again, this is 25 years ago, and it's still just seared into my brain.
He yelled at you.
Yeah, as he should have. I should have caught it. So I feel so bad when a play like that happens because inconsequential. It's week two. They lost one game. The Eagles are still going to be good. They're going to be fine. Saquon Barkley is going to be fine. He's going to have a bunch of yards. He's going to score a bunch of touchdowns. But that play, when Saquon Barkley is like 90, is going to be like, oh my God, that drop against the Falcons.
Yeah.
It's going to live there forever. I feel so bad for Saquon now.
Yeah. It's tough, especially he was phenomenal. He's been phenomenal the first 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, look at how it was all the Giants' fault. And rightfully so, it was the Giants' fault. Like, whatever happened with Saquon there, like, they stopped giving him opportunity to have success because everything else there is a total mess.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you watch, he also had the play where he got tackled at the half-foot line. You know, there's all of these little things that, like, he would normally... So while he's having a really good like rebirth there in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. you're still left with just these little tiny like, and I think it's tough because at a certain point, you know, like he got used to not having success. Mm-hmm. And when you're losing again and again and again, these little tiny details, sometimes you start to slip on how much they matter.
Yeah.
And then you get into a situation where all of a sudden you could be really good again and your team can be great and you can be great again. And it's like the first 2 weeks, there's going to come a point where this dude just looks like one of the best backs in football without any question again. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long it'll last because, you know, he's getting up there in age. But I think a little bit of complacency from a couple of years of bad play in New York is sure. Probably he needs to shake that rust off.
Yeah. I still believe in Saquon.
Yeah.
Don't drop him in fantasy just yet. You can drop Christian Kirk, though. If
drop
you
him.
Accidentally auto-drafted him, you can go ahead and do that. Between the Falcons and Eagles, which team do you believe in more?
Oh.
Because I so badly don't want to buy the Falcons, and I so badly believed in a Eagles kind of bounce back this year. I didn't think they were going to win 15 games or anything crazy like that, but I thought we'd see a little bit of a bounce back from them this year. But after last night, it's really hard not to buy the Falcons.
Yeah, but didn't they have just a horrible week one?
Yeah, but it was Kirk Cousins. He's coming back from the Achilles thing.
Yeah.
Still a little bit rusty. You saw him last night on that last drive. He was awesome. And I think the Eagles helped out a little bit, leaving a couple of big plays on the field. But man, I Falcons defense looks really good. I'm a believer in Kirk Cousins. I wouldn't pick him to win the Super Bowl, but I'm a believer that Kirk Cousins can win you games.
Yeah, for sure.
And man, it's so, I think I still lean Eagles just because I've seen them go to the Super Bowl before. I've not seen Kirk Cousins do that, but I buy the Falcons a lot more after last night than I did after week one.
Okay. I can get behind that. I mean,
week one's weird.
Yeah, so week one is weird, but I'm not sure that both of these teams just aren't mid. Like, both of them?
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
And we just had, like, a battle of, you know, two average teams that just happen to be at the same exact level. I don't like that that Darnell Mooney is got 7 targets in a game. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think there were like multiple times where you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem. I don't like that they've got players like Drake London and Kyle Pitts who you're still waiting for them to prove that they are like,
are
who
we
they
sure?
Are.
Hey, are we sure? Just real quick. Are we sure Kyle Pitts is good?
No, I don't think he's good. No.
Because at some point, I know he caught a touchdown last week. And if you're not a fantasy football person, Kyle Pitts has been the bane of fantasy football players' existence because he has 1,000 yards as a rookie and then just couldn't find the end zone over his next couple of years.
Well, even as a rookie, he had 68 catches, 1,026 yards, but he only had one touchdown.
One. And how many does he have in his career now? Like 4?
He's got 7 total. So he had 2 in year 2, 3 in year 3. I expect him to have 4 in year 4. But
he has one so far, right?
Yeah, he's got one, but he's got 6 catches for 46 yards for 2 weeks.
I mean,
and you just like
at some point, it was the quarterback, then it was the play caller, then it was both. It's like, all right, well, you got new quarterback, new play caller, and he has 6 for 46 in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just not the messiah of tight ends that everybody thought he was going to be.
No, I just think he's not great. That's at the end of the day. And it feels like every time you give up on him, that's when he busts out for like 120 yards. But you didn't start him or you had already waived him because he just isn't scoring touchdowns at all. And as a tight end, if you're playing fantasy sports, I'm okay with a tight end catching for 30 yards every week as long as he's catching a touchdown. You know, 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
That's fine for me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can't have is for you to not score touchdowns and for you to be spotty as far as you know, 1 week to the next, what you're going to get. Their whole team kind of feels like a bunch of guys who haven't quite figured out how to live up to their hype, like Darnell mm-hmm. Mooney, like Drake London, like Ray McCloud, like Kyle Pitts. Like,
John Robinson's good.
No, he's good, but even that, like, is he as good as everyone thought he would be? And I think we're still waiting to see if he's going to be as good. And like, maybe I'm wrong. You know, he was solid, but 976 yards last year, only 4 touchdowns rushing.
14 for 97 last night. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was really good last year. And I think he is starting to arrive right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm not convinced that overall that team is great.
Yeah.
Right?
No. And not great. Definitely not great.
Yeah.
But I'm buying into it more. Like, I see the vision more.
Yeah.
But to your point, 7 targets for Darnell Mooney is not a sustainable recipe for offensive success, I don't think.
No, that's not ideal. And then if you look at the other side, that's where I would kind of believe in Philadelphia a little bit more because A.J. Brown was hurt and didn't play.
Yeah, exactly.
And when that dude's on the field, he's a beast.
Yeah, and Hurts last night, 13 carries for 85 yards. Like, that's where they're going to be at their most impactful.
Yeah.
Is when Jalen Hurts is creating havoc like that. With his legs.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Leaning Eagles, but man, I'm much more apt to buy the Falcons after last night's game. Real quick, starting five trailer is out.
Yep.
That dropped this morning. I want to get to the Raider game here in a second. But the trailer for starting five on Netflix, that's the basketball series, is going to follow around Domantas Sabonis, LeBron James, Anthony Edwards, Jimmy Butler, and Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
Anything stick out to you? Anything special, or just a good trailer?
I thought it was just a really, really cool trailer. Like,
fired up.
Yeah, they're gonna have to build that show out, but I think that they've proven that they don't have lag, that they know how to make it intriguing and you know, really sort of bring something out differently mm-hmm. in these players that you had no idea.
Yep.
So I'm super excited because I do think it's going to be a fun watch and I'm excited for Domas to sort of have sort of his day in the sun
mm-hmm.
and maybe that will have an impact on things like All-Star voting. Maybe it'll have impact on all NBA sure. balloting and people, how people around the basketball world think of him.
Yeah.
Because he's really, really good.
Good player.
Yeah, you look at his stats say he's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, but very few players have averaged like 19 and almost 14 and
mm-hmm.
8,
mm-hmm.
like, ever.
Yeah.
And he's sitting here doing, like, magical things, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah, shows like this can have an impact. Sure hope it does for Domas. All right. The Raiders got a gritty-ass win on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this a little bit before the show. Vegas 26, Ravens 23. Again, I don't want to do a recap. But it was one of those games that wasn't pretty. It wasn't like, man, what an awesome football game. But I have watched the Ravens for, it feels like, my entire life, just grind teams into dust.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like they were going to do that to the Raiders. And then the Raiders just didn't get grinded into dust. They just outplayed them for the last quarter. And that, to me, is why Gardner Minshew starts. That game right there. Because you mentioned this earlier when we were talking about Brock Purdy and how he needs to have a little bit of this. There just aren't that many dudes in the NFL playing quarterback right now who would have played as well as Gardner Minshew did down the stretch and done the things like, all right, hey, just going to force feed Davante Adams. And just going to force feed Brock Bowers. Here you go. These are our two best pass catchers right now. They're going to win us this game. No running game to speak of. What'd they run for? 27 yards?
Yes.
You ran for 27 yards on 5, 14, 17 carries?
17 carries.
17 for 27, and you go into Baltimore and you beat the Ravens? That's crazy impressive.
Yeah.
And while I talked about Gardner Minshew early in the year and thought that he should start, and maybe oversold it a little bit, that game right there on Sunday is why he's in there. Because I don't think Aiden O'Connell wins him that game.
No, I mean, you can almost know that Aiden O'Connell is not going to win that game.
No.
Gardner Minshew, he's not going to do it every week. And there are going to be weeks where you just like throw things at the TV,
mm-hmm.
and just say, why is he your quarterback? But then there are these weeks where he just, when you say it was a grind out, he is a gritty player.
Yep.
And he finds ways to win. And it's something that not every player in the NFL has,
mm-hmm.
not every quarterback has. And I, you know, kind of what separates like the guys that get jobs where you're like, man, are we really recycling Gardner Minshew? And it's like, yeah, you're going to recycle him because he finds a way. And if you have a great defense, he can be a guy who, again, he's going to lose you a game or two, but he might also win you four or five that you weren't going to win just by keeping you in there and then making one or two plays that matter.
That's it. Gardner Minshew in the fourth quarter, 9 of 13 for a 126 and a touchdown.
Mm.
That's just gangster, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Davante Adams, 4 for 86 and a touchdown in that last quarter on 6 targets. Brock Bowers, 3 catches on 3 targets for 31 yards. Brock Bowers continues to be incredible. Man, I just, as unimpressed as I was with the Raiders and Antonio Pierce in week one, I am impressed with week two. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As disappointed as I was, I'm that amount impressed with week two. That was a gutsy ass. Derrick Henry scored early in the on the one of the first drives of the fourth quarter. Maybe it might have been Baltimore's first drive of the fourth quarter. But they go up 23-13, and I'm watching that and I'm going, oh, it's ball game.
Oh yeah.
The Raiders aren't scoring 10 points here in 12 minutes.
No, I thought they were cooked.
Yeah, this is, and even if they do score, I don't think they're going to get another stop. And they just kept scoring and getting stops.
Yeah,
it was incredible. Shout out to the Raiders, man. That was a really fun game.
Thoroughly enjoyed watching Max Crosby play. And then
he's so sick.
We talked about this yesterday, Jesse and I. Is it Wilkinson?
Christian Wilkins?
Yeah, Christian Wilkins. Mm-hmm. He jumped
Dolphins legend.
He jumped over Max Crosby after his late sack. Did you see that?
No.
He ran over.
I saw the sack. I did not see the...
Jumped up in the air, lifted his right leg, and went over the top of Max Crosby, who's 6'5", plus, let's say, 6'7", with a helmet on.
Mm.
Like,
got
that
over him.
Big old dude
leaped
over the top of Max Crosby. What an incredible athlete.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You brought up the Brock Bowers and Davante Adams
mm-hmm.
situation. Did you see what Geno Smith did in the Seattle game?
Refresh my memory.
This is wild. So DK Metcalf and Jaxon Smith
and Jigba.
DK Metcalf had 14 targets and Jigba had 16. 30 targets between
two
his
dudes?
Two primary receivers. One of them finished with 10 catches. The other finished with 12. They both broke 100 yards.
On how many attempts?
He was 22 of 30 to those two.
Oh my God.
And of those, and he went 33 of 44. But the fact that he, like, if you're in it and you're sitting there fighting, and I don't care how good or bad the Patriots are, I don't care because I don't think Seattle's very good at all. But when you're in it, man, go to your stars.
Throw it to your dudes, man.
Throw it to your dudes. And then when you need a first down, go hit Tyler Lockett, because that's exactly what happened. He got the big first down that they needed to like keep a drive going. But absolutely crazy, because it's sort of like the Brock Bowers and Davante Adams thing where, like, man, like, if you're going to go down and you're going to lose a game, you better go down throwing it to the best possible weapons that you have, and sure enough, they didn't.
Would so much rather be throwing it to Davante Adams and Brock Bowers than Trey Tucker.
Yeah.
Like, God love Trey Tucker, but down 10 fourth quarter, it's Davante Adams and Brock Bowers time.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. I think the Raiders are going to have multiple dudes in awards conversations this year.
You think so?
I think Max Crosby is just going to perennially, for the next 4 or 5 years, be in the DPOY conversation.
It's just tough because TJ Watt and Hutchinson exist.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of Myles Garrett and Nick Bosa, and honestly, Fred Warner is probably going to be in the DPOY conversation this year. But dude, Max Crosby is going to be in that conversation every single year.
Oh no,
he's one of the best edge rushers in the sport.
Yeah, he's incredible. Yeah, it's just so intense.
So I think he's a legit DPOY guy. And then even with Malik Nabers going for, what is it, 10 and 100? What did he finish with? He's the youngest player ever to have 10 catches and 100 yards in a game. I know that.
Oh, wow.
10 for 127 and a touchdown. 18 targets for Malik Nabers. 18 of Daniel Jones' 28 passes went to the rookie.
Wow.
And then, of course, we had the big blow-up game for Marvin Harrison Jr. We had 2 touchdowns on 2 catches in the first like 8 minutes.
Yeah, he was tremendous early on.
Four for 130 and 2 touchdowns.
And the crazy thing, I think they talked to him afterwards, and didn't Kyler Murray throw four incompletions?
Yeah.
On the day?
Yeah.
All 4 were to him.
Yeah.
And he was very upset with himself after the game.
17 of 21 for Kyler Murray, 8 targets, 4 catches for Marvin Harrison Jr. But even with Malik Nabers breaking out in week 2, even with Marvin Harrison Jr. breaking out in week 2, I don't think a rookie quarterback is playing well enough yet to be in the Offensive Rookie of the Year conversation.
No.
Which means you're going to get and I don't think there's a running back who's a rookie who's doing so.
No, Jalen Daniels is the only quarterback that's playing even somewhat well.
And I don't think he's going to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think Brock Bowers is going to be in the conversation all year.
Yep.
First tight end ever with 5 catches and 50-plus yards in his first 2 games.
Wow.
And clearly just a go-to target for Gardner Minshew already. Like, the target share is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And he's just an awesome playmaker. I love that they're leaning on him this early. Because they should. They're a really good player. They spent a high draft pick on him. And they're using him accordingly. I think Brock Bowers is very much going to be in the Offensive Rookie of the Year conversation.
Okay.
I think I wrote Offensive Player of the Year on my sheet.
Oh,
probably
rookie.
Not that.
No.
But Offensive Rookie of the Year for sure.
Yep.
I think he'll be in that convo. We're going to be in the break convo. We got a second hour coming up. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We got more 49ers coming up for you. We got a bigger NFL conversation to have, because NFL offensive output is going down, and we're going to tell you why. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're taking you up to noon right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. Jiffy Lube's the sponsor. D'Lo and KC, we'll hand it off to them at noon, and they'll take you up to 4 o'clock on this Tuesday. Got some Niners, got some Raiders, got some Monday Night Football in here. Leezy from the Chatty House, youtube.com/ESPN1320. Lose the habit, dog.
Leezy, we feel for you, but man, you should. We're 2 weeks into the NFL season. You shouldn't be 0-9.
9 L's in a row?
On your prize picks. And one of my favorite little comments of all time here in the Chatty House, Sal, this is brilliant. Leezy, bet again. No one loses 10 times in a row.
That's what I'm seeing. what's that? Don't enable him.
Enable him.
No,
I'm here for it.
Don't enable this. We might need a fade Leezy segment.
Oh.
Leezy tells us what his pick is. What his prize picks are for the week, and then we'll jump in and just do the opposite.
Well, I mean, we've had that segment with his trades, right?
Did we?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he traded McCaffrey last year.
Yeah, but didn't it end up working out?
It you know, strangely it did work out. I don't know how
good
it
for
worked
him.
Out. Yeah.
gotta go find what Leezy's picks are. I'm fading Leezy this week.
Leezy, I'm done. I'm due. I can't keep losing. You can keep
dude,
losing. Bro.
That is how people have problems. That's a problem, dog. When you're look here, like I've said this before. If I lose in prize picks, I've lost 3 prize picks in a row. I had 3 entries this weekend. I lost them all.
Okay.
And I didn't even get that many like picks right within those entries. I'm not under contract to them. Why don't I just talk about this? So basically you build a parlay, right? And come on. So within your entry, You're building your lineup. And my lineups, my picking more or less on the stat projections, I wasn't even getting those right. Like, I'm in a bad way. And I'm like, I'm stopping until the 49er game. I'm not doing anything else the rest of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm just ice cold in prize picks right now. You start having a problem when it's going, well, hey, I'm just going to do three more because no way I lose all three again. That's when you start to have a problem. Don't do it, Leezy. Take a night off. Take a deep breath.
The king of the bad beat.
You really are. You've had some really, really bad beats in our time.
Yeah, because you remember the first one was, I believe it was in...
It was a De'Aaron Fox free throw.
It was, well, he got fouled and they didn't send him to the line in the final seconds. He needed 20...
More than 27 and a half. He had 27 and he went to the free throw line and like missed both.
No, he didn't miss both. They fouled him and he didn't get the call in the final seconds and he should have gone to the free throw line and shot them. And that was I think it's that one. That was like a moderate one, right? That wasn't a bad one. I had the big one that I lost was, what I want to say was Michael Porter needed X amount of points.
Oh, yeah.
And he missed a layup and then missed a three and then didn't dunk. Instead of dunking, he passed it to the corner. He was wide open for a dunk, and all I needed was one point.
That's right.
And I went from a $2,000 win to a $200 win. Yeah. That's why, but
thanks
I don't play very often.
Prize Picks flex play option.
Yes.
You still won some money. And today with Prize Picks, you can turn $100 into $1,000 with as many as four correct picks.
There you go.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember the read off the top of my head. It's an easy sponsorship. They should do it. Leezy's on the phone right now. I would like to get to Leezy. Leezy, thank you so much for calling in. What's going on, man? How are you?
Yo, what's up, Ham and Kyle? Yo, I just wanted to call and talk about my picks that failed this week. We got to get this segment sponsored by somebody.
Yo, hey, can I just, Leezy, real quick, hang on. If Prize Picks sponsors a Leezy segment... Before they sponsor a Kyle and James segment, I'm going to be furious. I'd be psyched for my guy, Leezy.
Okay.
I'd be furious.
Yeah.
Anyways, Leezy, go on.
We're all one team. We all get sponsored together, guys. We can make this a segment. But yeah, my pick, I had good picks this week. I had the kicker for the Falcons. I had him going over 1.5, and he did. He hit like two or three field goals. I had Kyle Pitts under 40 yards, which hit.
Leezy, which ones did you get wrong? I need to know what you got wrong. I don't care what you got right.
Oh,
well, that and
what I got wrong.
Wait, Leezy, you have to say less or more. You can't say over or under.
Dude, this isn't gambling. Come on.
Okay, all right, less. So I got my less and my more is right there. The ones I messed up was Saquon. I thought I had him over 1.5 for touchdowns.
More.
He had three in the opening. Yeah, he didn't get it last
bro,
night.
Bro, okay, Leezy, stop. Okay, this is where we need to cut you off, bro. You picked more than 1.5 touchdowns?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I figured Hurst can get them down there, and then Saquon punches it in. I mean, that's what they did the first week, but it didn't happen last night.
Yeah, but they're the team tush push.
Dog.
Yeah.
1.5 is so many touchdowns.
That's why I look for the demons at 0.5, which I hit every single one of them except for McBride, who scored a touchdown, but it wasn't a rushing or a receiving touchdown.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah.
And guys, I just want to close out. So this week, I know I'm 0-9, but we're going to try one more time, and I'm going to take the more on Ayuk or whatever yards he has because he's going to be getting the ball.
Leezy, can you make me a promise?
Yes.
If you lose your next prize pick and you go to 0-10, can you please take a week off?
You know what?
Please,
you might be right,
for
Kyle.
Me.
My friend, I'll do it for you, Kyle.
Appreciate
my
you.
Friends used to get mad because basketball, I would win, but you know, football, I'm not having luck. They're like, stop playing. So if I lose this week, I'll stop for you, Kyle.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. See you, Leezy.
Yep.
We're gonna tell Leezy that we're having an event somewhere. We're gonna invite all of our friends. We're gonna invite Dr. David. We're gonna invite Johnny G, and John Poles can show up, and Sakiran DeBagley. And we're gonna act like it's a special event for insider friends, and then we're gonna have an intervention.
It's a bit, John. Lose the habit, Leezy.
he's like $2 a bet. We're making a big deal out of it. Yeah.
Betting what he's already won.
That's right.
Steve Palazzolo, formerly of Pro Football Focus, now of the 33rd team, tweeted a really, really interesting stat last night. And you had a couple of interesting theories about this stat that the numbers prove. But I think there's more to it. So let's talk about this. Offense in general in the NFL is down this year. Steve Palazzolo tweeted this. Passing touchdowns through 2 weeks since 2019. So in 2019, through 2 weeks, there were 105 touchdown passes thrown. 110 in 2020 and 2021. Same number in both years. 105 again in 2022, then down to 86 in 2023, and now through 2 weeks, 69, nice, passing touchdowns through 2 weeks in 2024. Down, how many is that? 30, 41?
Off of?
Since 2021?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
31, 41, yep.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
What I want you to explain your theory, because you had two.
I might have more than two, but like
the two you texted me though.
Yeah,
I would like to get into that.
My first theory is that they aren't calling pass interference, and so was that my theory? Like,
well, you had two, so you had the penalties. That was the first one.
Yeah.
And the numbers bear this out.
Mm-hmm.
You basically said, well, yeah, they're not calling DPI. So I wanted to go look, and thanks to the Pro Football Focus database, the Pro Football Reference database, I can get these numbers for you. So over the course of the entire 2021 season, when there were 110 touchdown passes thrown in the first 2 weeks, there were 1.11 defensive pass interference calls per game on average. And 0.6 defensive holding calls per game on average. Okay. Now, if we go to 2024, so if we go to this season, there are 0.37 DPIs called per game and 0.26 defensive holding calls per game.
So basically, from 1.7 to 0.7 per game. That's what we're talking about. You're basically losing.
More or less.
Yeah, and so what I'm seeing from this is it's not just that they aren't calling pass interference. They are allowing defensive players, defensive backs, to completely limit like wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Like we watched it, one of the final plays in the Niner game where every single guy is being held. You're watching it. They're 10, 12 yards downfield, mm-hmm. and a defensive back mm-hmm. is mauling a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like there's been a mandate that, hey, look, they're not going to call it. Go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they're not calling it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we had the one huge pass interference call in the Chiefs game. They had no choice but to call that.
That was so blatant.
Yeah, it was like the guy got there a second early and, you know, just crushed the guy who was extended going upwards for a catch. Just like hit him, it was totally early, and there's nothing they could do but give him, and that was 4th and 19.
Yeah.
So just a horrible, horrible play.
Really bad.
Right? So I don't know, it feels like it's almost like when the NBA decided that they were going to allow defensive pressure to look a different way,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason the NFL's like, hey, that seems like a good idea, let's try that. It's like, no, man, everyone wants to see the crazy catches. They want to see, scoring. They want to see touchdowns. What I don't want to see is what we've seen the first 2 weeks is so many field goals, Kyle.
A lot of field goals.
So many field goals.
I have numbers on this too. So this is another thing you brought up. You were like, yeah, teams are just kicking a lot of field goals now. So from 2019 to 2021, this is crazy. Every year, teams averaged 1.6 field goals per game.
Okay.
In each of those seasons, 1.6, 1.6, 1.6. 2022 and 2023, same deal, 1.7 in each of those 2 years. This year, 2.2 field goals per game. Per team. Per game.
Mm.
Excuse me, that's total per game, not per team. But I wonder if this is because teams are, because of what you're talking about, teams are looking and going, man, hey, defenders are getting to maul our receivers. We don't trust that we're going to be able to get a couple of yards. We're going to send the field goal team out instead of going for it. Or are kickers just good now?
Oh, they're good. That's for sure.
Check this out. In 2019, kickers made, and again, this is a small sample size for this year. It's only been 2 weeks, so we may see these numbers even out. Bless you. But in 2019, kickers made 81.6% of their kicks, so about 82%.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're at 92%.
That's wild.
Last year, 86% last year. 92.2% this year.
Can you look this stat up? What's the average length of field goal? Because that's the other thing. All of a sudden, kickers are kicking from way deep.
Yeah, it feels like guys are hitting bombs.
I mean, we've seen guys line up but not take a 70, a 68, and a 71. Where they lined up, but then, you know, decided to switch and bring the punt team out. And I would like to see, like, the average length of field goal, I'm guessing, is off the charts.
Yeah, I don't have that right now. I'm sure I could dig around. I'm not going to do that.
Well, here's what I'm talking about. So the Cardinals so far, special teams, field goals, they're 1-for-1 from 50. Mm-hmm. The Bears are 3-for-3 from 50. The Bengals are 2-for-2 from 50. Browns are 2-for-2. The Cowboys are 3-for-3.
Yeah.
The Texans are 6-for-6. I haven't come across
a single team
that has, they're way down here. We got an 0-for-1 from the Commanders. We have an 0-for-2 from the Ravens, and we have an 0-for-1 from the Colts. I've got 4 missed 50-yarders, and look at how many there are. That is wild. So I think that we're seeing not only are teams taking more field goals, but they're taking deeper and deeper field goals. It's mm-hmm. absolutely crazy to watch, and especially like Dallas. Well, who is one with 6 50-yarders already?
Houston.
Yeah, that, again, you're talking about all the missed passing touchdowns. That's a lot of them right there, because C.J. Stroud last year just was able to hit one after another, like, touchdowns in big situations like that. But the Dallas kicker is a robot, man.
Yeah, Brandon Aubrey's sick. 50-yard field goals have doubled in the first 2 weeks of this year over the full season last year. The average per game per team has doubled.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's absolutely crazy. Because that's what's happening. Teams are, they're not moving the ball, and all of a sudden they're like, well, let's line it up because we're not getting anywhere.
So that's where I think the next step of this conversation goes, because that all attributes to why the scoring is down, right?
Mm-hmm.
The teams are kicking field goals instead of scoring touchdowns. But I think part of the reason teams are kicking field goals is, I think the quarterback play this year has just not been great.
Oh, no, there's a bunch of first and second year quarterbacks who are not successful.
Yeah, and Justin Fields has been good, but Justin Fields isn't lighting up the scoreboard with the Steelers. You mentioned Bo Nix. You've got Caleb Williams. You've got Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's players like Daniel Jones, who have been paid, who are just not great.
Or who got benched yesterday.
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young.
Second-year player.
Yeah.
You have Trevor Lawrence, who has not taken this leap yet.
Nope.
There are up and down, and then you've got teams like the Rams, who might not be performing offensively because they're just so beat up. There's a lot of reasons for that, but I think this is a trend that started a couple of years ago, because you had 20... So the pandemic year was weird. Teams scored 25 points per game during the pandemic. Then that dropped to 23 in 2021. But since then, 21.9, 21.8, and then 21.4 this year.
Mm.
And I think that's because you're starting to see defenses adjust to modern offenses, because it was the Kyle Shanahan thing, right? Kyle Shanahan came in, and 2019 was when he and the 49ers really took off. And then you started to see the expansion of the Kyle Shanahan tree through 2020, 2021, and 2022. Well, now you're seeing defenses adjust to that. And I think they're taking away the middle of the field where that offense wants to live. and you're seeing defenses start to adjust to, okay, hey, spread concepts from the college game that have been brought in. Okay, the NFL is catching up. They're figuring out ways to mitigate these just insane passing games. Well, because of that, you're starting to see the production go down. And also, at the same time, I think you're starting to see penalty calls go down because the NFL was looking at offenses and going, hey, this is impossible. It's just impossible to guard modern offenses.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's the penalty aspect of it, which is part of the reason I think you see teams settling for field goals. I think there's bad quarterback play for sure, but I also think we're in the middle of a pendulum swing. I think the pendulum is swinging back from NFL offenses dominating like they did in 2019, then into 2021 and a little bit in 22. And you're seeing the pendulum shift back toward defense because I think modern defense is starting to figure it out.
I think that's very possible. But I do know it just feels like the league is off right now. And I'm looking at like extra points on the year, right? So extra points taken on the year, which is, it's not a perfect, there are some teams that have gone for two, which can skew this stat, but The Saints are 10 of 11. They're the only team with 11, with more than 10,
touchdowns,
right? Then we go to the Bills at 8. You got the Cardinals at 7. You got the Vikings and Bucks at 6. And then Kansas City and the Eagles at 5. So that's 7 teams that have scored 5 or more touchdowns through the first 2 weeks.
Wow.
Everyone else is 4 or less. The football is, like, the scoring is way down.
Yeah, I think part of it has to do with the way the preseason's handled now.
Yeah.
Because so many teams, it went from, okay, we're going to play our guys a little in the preseason, to just full-blown, hey, every starter is going to sit in the preseason.
Yeah.
And teams treat the first few weeks like, okay, this will be the ramp-up, these games that count. This is the risk. The risk-reward is such that we're okay playing our guys in these games. And I think that's definitely part of it, but there just has to be more. Because this is a trend now over the last few years. And I definitely think that part of it is the preseason, the lack of preseason activity.
Well, I think the lack of preseason activity is directly correlated to going up to a 17-game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have teams who are trying to save their guys from getting hit in preseason. And so you're going to get off to a slow start. I'd say this, like the 49ers in week one, they scored on 8 consecutive possessions.
Mm-hmm.
They're right now, after 2 weeks, they've scored 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy how you're just not seeing the touchdown scores.
Mm-mm.
And so I don't know. I hope we pick it up.
And yards per play are exactly what they were last year. 5.3, exact same number. Teams just aren't getting in the end zone. And that to me is execution based.
Yeah.
That to me is, you've got some teams like the Rams and the 49ers that you expect to score a bunch of points that are banged up. But with the Niners in week one, that was mostly execution.
Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't get in the end zone. Week two, same deal. 4th and 2, tip pass at the line, ball falls incomplete to Juwan Jennings, no touchdown.
Yeah, that was just a bad play. And not only that, but it was 4th and 2.
Mm-hmm.
How many other shots did they have? They had 3 other shots before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
couldn't get in the end zone.
They couldn't get in the end zone. Mm-hmm. So the fact is the overall play of the quarterback right now, to me, is where you can kind of point to a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're seeing the receiving yards are there. You know, a lot of these guys are putting up big numbers already.
Yeah.
Very impressive. But at some point, it's got to equate to touchdowns. And it doesn't feel like that's happening at all at a high level.
I'm going
to
keep tracking this throughout the year because I do think there's enough of it that can be written off as early season rust.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's all of it. And so I'm really interested to see what these numbers look like. Like rushing yards per attempt are up this year over last year. Yards per play exactly the same, but you just mentioned it. Touchdowns and points way down. Field goal kicking way up. Is this just a product of that? Yeah, it's early in the year. We're still figuring it out. Or are we seeing a shift in the NFL? I think we're seeing a shift in the NFL, at least the beginning of one.
Okay.
And well, I think you're going to see a game more dominated by defense here over the next 4, 5, 8 years. Before the pendulum swings back toward the offense. before some new innovation overcomes whatever defenses are doing.
Okay. I'm intrigued because, again, you take the Saints out of this equation, and I don't want to know what it looks like. The scoring numbers would be way down, and they're such an anomaly.
Let's do it.
Right now, if you take just like what the Saints have done, where they've got 11 touchdowns early in the season, and they might even have more than that, like they have been so incredibly good. I'm intrigued. And then, you know, again, I watch the Chiefs like religiously. Mm-hmm. They're not my team, but they're my second team. And
right.
And so I'm watching them nonstop, right? When you talk about like the defenses that are doing something different, they're disguising stuff that Patrick Mahomes isn't able to compute. And Brock Purdy isn't able to compute. Like, we're talking about this right now. So even the high-level quarterback play that we were used to seeing, guys who have thrown for 4,400 yards last year, they're still having trouble, like, reading what's happening. Because Mahomes was, like, he just missed a linebacker. And that just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, it's one thing when
that
Sam...
was nuts.
When Sam Darnold throws the ball a little bit low and Fred Warner makes one of the most incredible plays we'll see, you know, a dude running, stretching out, like leaping in the air. But to have some of the really, really good quarterbacks in the league are like baffled by what's happening. And that's what I've seen from Mahomes, like baffled.
Yeah.
So
defenses are starting to figure it out. And I think offenses are suffering because of it. But like I said, we'll continue tracking that all season. All right. We got a mad props check-in. Bunch of 0-2 teams. Which ones do you believe in? Plus, we'll have a Sacramento Kings check-in as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back in a second here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader. Voice guy, please repeat me.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
What the heck's going on with NFL offenses? We'll talk about it. We got mad props coming up as well. James, you were reading some of those scores from this week. A lot of weird scores in the NFL.
They all look the same.
It's so weird.
Every game is like a 5 or 6 point game. Like a couple of 7 point games. But
so many 26s, 16s, 13s, 19s.
Yeah, it's wild. Like all of the games just look the same. You know, you got the Bills 31-10, right? And you got the Saints 44-19. After that, 20-16, 16-10, 24-17, 23-17, 23-20, 21-18, the 16-3 Chargers. I mean, that's just because they play the Panthers, but 18-13, 26-23.
Hey, bro, did you see how the Giants scored their 18 points?
Field goals?
No, they scored 3 touchdowns.
Oh, no, that's right. They had the 2 extra points that...
They had a failed kick and then 2 two-point tries fail. Which, I don't know why... If you make it 18-15, why are you going for 2? Just kick the extra point. You still win with a field goal.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I had that backwards. Never mind. Okay. That put them up 18-15. So they were trying to go to 20-15 instead of 19-15 for some reason.
Well, I mean, that's where you're looking at, again, these kickers in that game. Austin Siebert went 7 of 7 from field goal.
So you had 18 points on 3 touchdowns and 21 points on 7 field goals.
Yeah, that, and he goes 7 of 7. The long was 45. So they're like in the zone. They're there. Oh, that's right. Zabo's right. The kicker for the Giants got hurt.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that I did not see. I'm sorry, everybody. I didn't lock into Giants Commanders. Forgive me, please.
I forgot. 0 for 6
in the red zone for the Commanders.
Oh.
0 for 3 in goal to go situations.
Oh, that's not good.
Average 6.2 yards per play. And didn't get in the end zone.
Yeah, but look at that performance by Jaden Daniels. He's 23 of 29 for 226 yards, and then he had another 44 yards rushing.
Yeah.
He doesn't throw a pick. He hasn't thrown a touchdown. He didn't throw a touchdown this, but he's the one young quarterback that's like, oh,
The 79% completions and almost 8 yards per attempt is super encouraging there.
Yeah.
But the Giants also stink.
Oh, no, they do.
So that's kind of where that lands.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of the Giants, our guy in New Jersey, Mitch, is on the line. Mitch, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, James, Kyle? Hope you had a nice time.
Sure did.
Down there in La La Land, I should have met you there. You flew,
no,
or
please,
you
don't. I drove.
Really?
Yeah.
And you only took 3 days off.
Okay. Well, and a weekend.
Yeah, and a weekend.
Drove down Thursday morning, drove back yesterday morning.
5 days. Yeah. 5 days.
All right, that's bad. Okay. Misunderstood you.
It's okay.
Did you catch a Dodger game?
Mitch, I would like to catch what you would like to talk about on this phone call now, please.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, I tell you, guy like the Falcons, they got two good running backs, plus Mr. Pitt and Drake London, my boy. I mean, 49ers had three good running backs, and two of them are hurt. One's out for the year, Lee'Jai Mitchell. I agree with the scoring. I mean, come on with these field goals. Pretty sure 65 yards would be the average. And one more thing, maybe they should bring back the head slap for defense lines for the more sacks. There'll be even more, less scoring then.
Perfect. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate
it. There we go.
I don't think the NFL's bringing back the head slap. Deacon Jones' move is not going to play in the modern NFL, I fear.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't know.
I don't think defenses need more advantages.
We'll throw it out there. We'll throw it out there to people that we know.
You're already not throwing any flags. Hey, stop throwing flags on defense and also just let defensive linemen do whatever they want.
There it is. Yeah, and just like allow the leg whip to come back as well. Like,
just make this sport as dangerous as humanly possible.
That's right.
Mad props. We went over these last week. These are almost a week old. We went over these on Wednesday.
It's okay, but the people love them.
All right, here we go.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Yeah, here it is again. 49er game and the Raider game. We tried to mix and match the players and the stats so they weren't, it's not just player versus player at a specific position. So first up, we had Jordan Mason carries or Gardner Minshew completions in the Raiders-Ravens game.
Oh.
And the 49ers-Vikings game. Those are the two games we're dealing with. We both went with Minshew completions, and Gardner Minshew lit it up for us. He had 30 completions on 38 attempts. Really nice game for the Raiders quarterback. Jordan Mason, meanwhile, a negative game script for the 49ers basically the entire way. Just 20 carries for Jordan Mason in the 49ers loss. We both won that one. Shout out to us.
Excellent.
We each get a ding. And pause. And the next one, number two, Deebo Samuel targets or Max Crosby pressures. You went Max Crosby pressures. I went Deebo Samuel targets. And Brock Purdy saved me in that respect. Not a ton of carries for Deebo, but a ton of targets. He had 10 targets compared to just 4 pressures for Max Crosby. Still a really good game for Crosby. He did notch a couple of sacks, 10-4. I win that one. The next one, we're bang on the number, coach. We went Mitch Wishnowski punts or Trey Tucker receptions. You and I both thought Mitch Wishnowski would punt a bunch. He didn't. The Niners just turned it over a couple of times. He punted twice. Trey Tucker, 2 receptions. So we are bang on the number. We have a tie. 2 weeks in a row. Gone on the number.
These numbers are good.
Shout out to me. The next one, not so good. George Kittle receiving yards or the Raiders rushing leader.
Oh, Kittle had a good game.
Kittle had a very good game. The Raiders rushing leader did not. Zamir White, just 24 yards, 76 yards for George Kittle. You went with the 49ers tight end. I went with the Raiders running back. You're the big winner there, 76-24. Next up, 49ers takeaways or Daniel Carlson made field goals. We both thought the 49ers would have more takeaways than Carlson missed, than Carlson made field goals. Wrong-o. 2 takeaways for the 49ers. 4 made field goals for Raiders kicker Daniel Carlson in their victory, including a game winner as time expired. Shout out to Daniel Carlson and the Las Vegas Raiders for the victory. You and I are tied right now.
2-2.
2-2.
You were up last week you were 4-0 and I was 3-1.
No, I was 4-1 last week.
Okay, and I was 3-2?
I was 4-1-1. You were 3-2-1.
Okay.
Yeah, I decided to count the ties. I've got the numbers here.
Okay.
Which means it all comes down to this. Jake Moody total points or Robert Spillane tackles. Robert Spillane, a linebacker for the Las Vegas Raiders. You went with Moody points. I went with Spillane tackles. I'm the winner. 10 tackles for Robert Spillane, 5 points for Jake Moody. It's a 3-2-1 week for me, a 2-3-1 week for you. You are now 5-5-2 on the season. I am 7-3-2 on the season.
I now know how Lizzie feels.
He's got to stay with it. The good news is it sounds like we're going to have a producer on Friday soon.
Oh.
Who can do this for us where we can't just easily, like, I can't just look at the board and know what you're picking.
Okay.
Where I can then, like, I would never do this because it would screw the bit. But, like, strategically pick based on, because now I could just follow your picks the whole year and I'm going to win.
Oh, yeah.
But there's nothing at stake, and that ruins the bit.
Okay.
So, we're going to have a producer soon, so I won't be able to keep track.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to us. Shout out to Mad Props. Thanks, yeah. Everybody, for listening to that. I really enjoy doing that bit, and I hope you guys all enjoy it, too.
I enjoy playing along every week.
Cool. As long as you like it, then we're in.
There it is.
We have 9 teams in the NFL that are 0-2 through 2 weeks.
Okay.
Ravens, 6 of them in the AFC.
Mm.
Ravens, Bengals, Colts, Jags, Titans, 3 teams in the AFC South are 0-2.
Ravens, Bengals,
Colts, Jags, Titans, Broncos.
Okay.
Those are your 6 AFC teams that are 0-2, 3 in the NFC, Giants, Panthers, and Rams. My Rams to win the NFC West pick, not looking great at the moment. History tells us that since the playoffs expanded in 2020, since the playoffs expanded to 14 teams, 6.25% of teams that start 0-2 go on to make the playoffs. The Texans did it, and the Bengals did it. Those are the 2 teams that have done it. So 6.25% of these 9 teams means maybe one of them will make the playoffs.
I'm going to guess that 2 of them make the playoffs, and I'm also, and I'm going to say that there's even a potential for a third.
My God.
To make the playoffs.
Okay, please explain.
Okay, so I think all of the NFC teams that are 0-2 are going to have poor seasons. The Giants, I think Carolina's the worst team in football. I don't think that's any question. And I think the Rams, because they're starting 0-2, and by the time they get anyone back, they could be like 1-6 or 2-5.
Yeah, if the Rams had just lost to the Lions and then had a tough divisional game and a loss to the Cardinals, I wouldn't have really thought anything of it.
Yeah.
But you hit the nail on the head, man.
It's the injuries.
They are so beat up.
Yeah.
They're going to win some games because I think they're well coached. But I think as far as at this point, you need to go, what is that, 10-5 the rest of the way to make the playoffs? I don't think they're doing that.
No. And I mean, they stormed last year. They were good in the second half last year.
Yeah.
But like the injuries are just like over the top. I don't think there's any way for them to recover.
No, they don't have any receivers. They can't keep Matthew Stafford upright. I'm right there with you. So yeah, nobody in the NFC.
Okay, so now if I'm going to the AFC, I think Baltimore and Cincinnati are both way better than 0-2. And I don't know way better, but I think both of them will recover.
Okay.
And then, like, I know I keep saying I want to be out on Trevor Lawrence, but I feel like the Jags are going to be...
We're invested.
they're going to be better than 0-2. I think that they will rebound. And the fact that they have Tennessee and the Colts both in their division means that they're going to get some wins there. So you get some wins there, and then I don't know what their schedule looks like. I haven't gone through their schedule. But I think they can recover. It won't be as easy as Baltimore or Cincinnati.
We're talking Jacksonville?
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville has, at Bills, at Texans, home Colts, at Bears, home Patriots, and then home Packers, at Eagles, home Vikings, at Lions. Ugh.
Okay. Yeah, so 0-3 is staring them in the face, right?
Yeah, you'd figure.
Yeah, they need to find a way there. And then 0-4 is staring them in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then can you string some wins? You got some soft spot there, and I think it's whether or not Love is back, you know, when you get to Green Bay, and I don't know.
I don't believe in the Jags.
No, I'm looking at their schedule. I now probably don't believe in the Jags. But
I think of the 0-2 teams, I think the Ravens are the ones that make the playoffs. That's where I land.
Yeah, but look at that last 5 games. They could go 5-0 to finish the season.
Who, Jacksonville?
Yeah. at Tennessee against the Jets, home against the Jets at Las Vegas, Tennessee again.
I'm not going 5-0, James. They're
at Colts.
Even, not even good.
No, I'm saying that there's a possibility that they recover. Mm. I don't know.
I'm not buying them.
I'm not
buy like, Trevor Lawrence either.
I'm invested from a fantasy football standpoint, but I'm having a hard time. I'm having a really difficult
time.
You
told me for 4 years that this guy was him.
Oh, yeah.
He is not. He is at best an average quarterback right now, maybe slightly above average, but that's it.
He was supposed to be the guy that was like coach proof and weapon proof.
Four years of hyping this kid up.
Yeah.
You did him a terrible disservice through those 4 years because he landed in Jacksonville.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a fine argument to be made about Jacksonville and the process that he's gone through, but man, you put that kid in a tough spot.
Yeah.
And he just has not lived up to what you made him out to be.
Not even close.
Doesn't mean he can't, doesn't mean he won't. It just means he is not at all.
I'm not buying Jacksonville just because they have Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
I'll buy the Ravens because they have Lamar Jackson.
That's it.
No,
I can't. So that's what we're talking about. There's 9-0-2 teams. Mm-hmm. Ravens, Bengals, Colts, Jags, Titans, Broncos, Giants, Panthers, Rams.
Mm-hmm.
History tells us maybe one will make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And James said he liked the Ravens and the Bengals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfectly. I mean, that's perfectly fair. Whether this is the third straight year that the Bengals have started 0-2.
Yeah. Which like that's not good.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. And I just normally we don't really start looking ahead to the next week until like Wednesday, but I did catch wind of the week three. It's the Ravens and the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some implications to that one. The Cowboys who were absolutely embarrassed by the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. You've got Baltimore suffering two catastrophic last-minute losses to start the season.
Just brutal.
That's a really unique Week 3 game. But I would absolutely lean towards the Ravens recovering, the Ravens and the Bengals. I don't love the Bengals as a team, as a collective, but yeah. I do like the Ravens.
Yeah, me too.
I think the Bengals too. Once they get past whatever is going on with Jamar Chase, just like figure it out. Like,
I just don't think that's going
to
happen.
Like, you're just self-sabotaging so badly, and then T. Higgins needs to get on the field. But once he does, he's playing for a contract, I think you're going to see if he gets healthy, that team is going to have some
but
weapons.
Because of that contract situation, he might not get back on the field.
Mm.
Like, if I'm him, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Still sore.
Yeah, I don't blame him so playing this. I don't agree with not playing if you're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're unsure, the situation that everybody is in, this is what T. Higgins has to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Cincinnati Bengals have to deal with. And this is what Jamar Chase has to deal with. This is the consequences of football being the way that it is.
Yep.
And the approach that you guys took to this contract negotiation, these are the consequences of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that nothing was going to happen was absurd.
Yeah.
Like, that's not human behavior. It's not football.
Not even a little bit.
It's human behavior. And we saw Jamar not responding to his quarterback when his quarterback's trying to pull him back. You think that's an isolated incident. It's not. It's not that incident in that moment. He got dragged down the way that he did, and his career flashed before his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he responded the way that he did. He didn't respond to his quarterback because he's pissed off at the organization. All of this stuff has an effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why slow playing contract negotiations can result in you, James used the word self-sabotage. That's what this looks like.
Yep.
Like, you're not doing it on purpose, but these are the results of that. Hey, let's just go play football. Kiss my ass. This is my career.
Yep.
And you want me to ignore that? I'm not.
Especially when the Bengals team owner is very happy going 9-8 every year. Like, there's no desire to win there. It's like, yeah, you're obviously going to pay Joe Burrow, but we're going to, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins,
Ridiculous.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Look at the 49ers, the situation they're in, where this exact same played out for them as well. And now Ayuk is like one of the few guys you have left that you have to rely on.
Yeah.
So it's like, now we have to get on the same page right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see him and Brock Purdy throwing 50 passes to it, like all practice long, all week long.
Mm-hmm.
Get on the same page, figure it out, because this is the the only way out of the hole you're in is right there. That combination right there.
Yep.
Like, you can have Kittle, you can have, you know, maybe Cowling steps up, you can have the running back go wild, Mason goes wild.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that they get back on the winning path and are consistently winning is right there. You got to find that connection.
Yep.
I agree. I think you also got to find a way to get, like, because, you know, people keep talking about, like, oh, what Jordan Mason does, it really kind of cushions, you know, the Christian McCaffrey stuff. And what he's doing out of the backfield is really important, mm-hmm. obviously. But you can't cushion the Christian McCaffrey stuff unless you can catch, you know, 40 yards
exactly
as a receiver out of the backfield. And that's something that they need to think about how they can implement here, knowing that Christian McCaffrey isn't going to be back anytime soon, knowing that now you're without your two most explosive playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And you still got George Kittle there who could do some things for you, but you've got to figure out a way to expand Jordan Mason a little bit.
Yep.
And as James just said, you've got to get Brandon Ayuk more involved.
Yeah, spotlight's on the quarterback and the head coach now.
Well, spotlight's going to be on that wide receiver because he's...
And Brandon Ayuk.
He's the one who waited. He's the one who held out. He's, you know, telling everyone, I'm about 85% of what I was. And shut up. Don't say that out loud.
So,
like,
yeah, no, so the other thing he said.
And I saw what Kyle said, Shanahan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I respected him, you know, trying to clean that up for his guy. But BA got to be a little bit more careful when microphones are in front of him.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that because no one's going to feel bad that you're at 85%. You're at 85% because of you.
Yep.
And I'm not disagreeing with what you did. I'm just saying, don't say that.
Yeah. Keep that under wrap.
Yeah. Work it out along the way. Yeah. Don't say that, though.
We got to get out of here. What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and KC?
I mean, you guys are doing the 2-0 thing. I think there's a lot to talk about with the teams that are 2-0, 0-2. We like to do some overreactions. We'll talk about, you know, not being without Debo. We'll talk about that game last night, how joyful it is to watch Nick Sirianni lose football games. Trista will be with us. Jason Jones will be with us. So it'll be a fun day for sure.
Can't wait. D'Lo and KC coming up next. They're hanging out with you till 4. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice, people. Boop!